Hi, it's 6:08 p.m. on Sunday. This is the PMB Elections Committee. Let me get the date. Sunday, June 3rd, 2007.
Lydia.
Secretary will call the roll.
Vaughn Williams.
Present.
Henry North.
Present check. Van Aken.
Aslinda Gracios. Am I hearing something from Rosalinda?
No.
Hi.
Lydia Brazon.
Here. Is it pound one for this call?
Yes.
Thank you.
Terry Goodman.
Here.
Jack Van Aken.
Present.
Teresa Allen. I know she's on. Teresa. Sandra Rollins.
Teresa is present.
Thank you. Sandra.
Sandra's here. I'm here.
Deb Shafto. Bob Lederer.
Here.
Green Roberts.
Here.
Carolyn Burton.
Present.
Jane Gatewood, present. And Ambrose Lane and Carol Wolf are absent.
Okay.
We have...
This is a special meeting, and the subject is elections timeline. Do we need an agenda?
I will note that Casey asked us to update him on the status of the request for early hire of
local
elections. If when he comes on, maybe we would want to take a minute to cover that.
Okay.
And may I add something to the agenda, even though it's a special meeting?
If it's relevant to the purpose for which the meeting was noticed, yes.
Well, I'm not sure it is. There was another work group convened, and we haven't really met, and that is on the membership list, and we need to reconvene a work group on that subject.
Deb?
Okay.
Yeah, that can be, like, announcements. You can,
thank you.
Yeah, that's no business.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I was asking if we had the if anybody has Casey's original proposal, because the as far as I believe the work group was essentially asking that Casey's proposal be sent forward, except the recommended except for the section 5 that we had a modification to discuss group tonight. Was Serene? Would you call that an accurate assessment? Anybody, Henry?
I'm sorry. Can you just repeat?
I was just stating for the committee that my understanding of our work group, we didn't have a we didn't put this in writing before the meeting tonight, but I believe that we wanted to forward Casey's proposal as it was, except for the Section 5 modification, and Henry has put a proposal on the table for that. We might hear something from Casey. Did you have another alternate language?
I think you're right, except that Henry modified the proposal to give it a little bit more framework. That is the Section 5 proposal. And the first part of my proposal about clarifying the staff quorum, Dan Siegel said could be done just as a simple matter by the PMB, that it need not go to the... So my understanding is that we were looking at the term limit question on the one hand, and the modified Section 5 proposal on the other.
I was looking for a copy of your original proposal without Dan Siegel's comments in it, and I cannot find it on our work group. Casey, are you accessible to the internet right now?
I'm afraid not, but perhaps somebody else.
This is Henry. I can probably help you find it. It was sent out on May 31st by Bob Lederer.
I have that link up on my computer, but I don't see where it is.
Well,
I have the email, but there's no attachment that I can see.
No, it's not an attachment. It's in the body of the message.
Well, there must be another one on 531 then.
So I have
3 p.m. it was sent out by.
Now, I have that, but what I don't have is the original one without all the commentary.
I never saw that. I don't believe that was sent to the group.
Bob,
yeah,
do you have...
I sent it out. I'm trying to find it. I sent it to you guys before, I think maybe after the first meeting with Henry and I sent it to the rest of you. I'm trying
Casey,
to find it.
Casey's proposal? Yes. Okay.
I thought that I'd send it to the work group, but I don't have it in front of me.
Yes, Serene sent it on May 23rd. On May 23rd at 12:37 a.m.
And I think the text in what Bob sent out includes.
Yes.
All of Casey's.
Right.
Proposal.
Yeah, my proposal was pretty brief. Three or four sections, but brief.
So that's a little less than halfway into.
Actually, it looks like that, Serene. It looks like that you sent that message, the original message, only to the work group. And
right.
Yeah, right. I think Bob's copy of it with Siegel's comments went to the entire committee.
Sent to everyone. So, do you want to start reading it? Henry?
Is that what we want? I can do that.
Is that what you want, Jay?
Actually, since Casey isn't an official member of the committee, I can read that. If the work group member doesn't. The first section was a proposed amendment to Article 3, Section 7 on quorum. And that was resolving a Scrivener's error in the bylaws. A quorum of the staff members shall be 1/4, (1/4), (4), of the staff members entitled to vote on the matter as of the applicable record date.
Point of order?
You recognize for a point of order?
May we restrict the conversation tonight to things that require vote of the membership? What did Siegel's comment about that? Is that was not a bylaws amendment, but a what did he say?
A clarification.
It's Serene. Can I answer? Hello.
Well. I'll rule the point of order not well taken as stated, but the committee, what I just read is not relevant to the timeline, which is the notice purpose of the meeting. So to the extent that she was objecting to bringing up that particular proposed amendment, the point of order is well taken.
So let's go on to the next one.
Yes.
Yeah, this is Serene. Can I just offer a quick point of clarification? It's like 2 seconds. It could have been done.
Go ahead.
This was actually, I think, in 2005 or something, or 4, by the PND. It's a Scrivener's error, and it was corrected already. I don't know if it's been corrected on every website, so that may be the problem. But this was
It must be the problem.
Well, part of the... My comment would have been out of order. Let's go on. does the committee wish to report out the National Election Supervisor's recommended amendment to Article 4, Section 3, that the fourth sentence be amended to read, election of delegates shall be held in odd-numbered years, with elections for 3 staff delegates and 9 listener-sponsor delegates held each time.
Yes, we would.
Okay, so that's one proposal. Unless we do them all at once. The next section identified was Article 4, Section 5, Election Time Frame. The first sentence should be amended to read, in each even-numbered year, the Pacifica National Board shall determine a schedule for the following year's election of delegates. In the event the PNB fails to act by December 31, the Executive Director shall appoint a National Election Supervisor who shall determine a schedule for the election of delegates.
I think we would like to recommend Henry's language as on June 1st.
Okay.
Which would read very similar to as it is now. Want me to go ahead and read that?
Yes.
By December 31st of each even-numbered year, the Pacifica National Board shall set an exact schedule for the following year's election of delegates. In the event the PNB fails to act by December 31st, the Executive Director shall appoint a National Election Supervisor who shall determine the schedule for the election. The schedule shall include A, a period of not less than 30 days for nomination of candidates, B, a date during the month of September on which ballots shall be mailed or otherwise made available to the members. C, a date not less than 40 days after the mailing of ballots on or before which completed ballots must be received to be counted, in parentheses, election close date. New paragraph, all ballots shall be held sealed until the election close date. If the required quorum of ballots is not received by the election close date, then the election close date shall be extended by 2 additional weeks. The national and local election supervisors shall have up to 15 days after the election close date to count the ballots and to certify the results to the local station boards, the board, and the members, which results must be reported by November 1st, or if the election close date was extended by November 15th, and shall be posted on the foundation's and the radio station's websites. No quorum of ballots is obtained by the extended date, since the delegacy terms would have expired upon the election of new delegates shall remain in office until the next regularly scheduled delegate election. Who was that that came on? Did somebody new come on?
Apparently not.
I might have lost it and came back on.
If there's a stack, may I put myself on it? Carolyn here.
Yeah, I'm not sure we're through constructing the recommendations of the committee.
You want to lay them all out first?
Yeah, and then we can amend them serially before approving an entire package, unless someone moves otherwise.
I'd like to move to deal with these individually. If we do them serially, we're going to lose track. So I would like to take these in order and discuss them in order as they are presented rather than in total at the end.
Okay. Is there any objection to that proposal?
I have one objection. Since there's the most discussion about the Article 5, I would like that to be saved for last.
Any objection to that?
Is that the one we're just discussing about the PNB setting the exact schedule, et cetera? I lost track.
Yes.
Yes.
No, I think that's actually crucial to discuss it first. That's one of the reasons I wanted to discuss it, so I do not want to leave it to last.
This is Bob.
For what purpose does a member wish to be recognized?
On the procedure, on the order in which we should discuss things.
Go ahead.
Okay. I think what would be most useful for those who haven't had time to digest all of the, you know, all of the different proposals is if someone from the work group could just summarize the different proposals, not read them word for word, but just a summary, and then we can go back and take them one at a time and, you know, discuss them, make decisions, and then move on. But we need to see how each piece relates to the total package or the total set of options for a package.
Certainly makes sense to me. Is there objection to that proposal? Is there a member of the committee who can lay it out that in that manner?
I can try to do that. This is Henry.
Go ahead, Henry. You're recognized.
Okay. Casey's proposal, which parts of which Terry just read, is more comprehensive than any of the alternatives, and makes a more radical change in that it calls for elections to be held only in odd-numbered years. That is every other year, rather than getting rid of us two out of three system we have now. The implication of that is that terms would be 4 years rather than 3 years. That is the burden of his proposal for Section 3 and for Section 8, which deals with the length of term. That's the only proposal before us today, as far as I know, that deals with the length of terms and the years on which elections would be held. Section 5 deals specifically with the election time frame, and for that we have several options before us. Casey's proposal, as Terry just read, was that the PNB should set the schedule in each even-numbered year for the election to be held in the odd-numbered year, by December 31st of the previous year, in other words. That the PNB should set the schedule, or in the event the PNB fails to do so, the ED should appoint a national election supervisor who would set the schedule. So that's one proposal. We have floating around several alternative proposals that the timeline work group worked out that follow the current bylaws. I should have started by saying that for people who haven't looked at Section 5 of the bylaws now, they lay out the timeline in great detail, specific dates, when nominations open, when nominations are closed. That will close when ballots are to be mailed, when ballots are to be returned, and so on by date. That's the baseline we're starting with. Casey's proposal for Section 5 eliminates all of that detail, leaves it up to the PNB or to a national election supervisor. The timeline work group worked out several alternatives that are similar to the current bylaws in the sense that they provide exact details, but they move the timing of the election in an effort to get away from the conflict with the governmental elections and also with station fund drives. They basically move the election to September, in the first week of October, the voting period. But they provide the corresponding precise time dates for the nomination periods and the date when the vote counts are due and all the exact details. What we were talking about as a middle ground proposal was one that I drafted on Friday. It was sent to people on Friday. That's the one that follows Casey's proposal in the sense of eliminating all of the exact dates, but it says the voting should be, it provides a few specifics, as at least as I saw it, and I think that some other people did, as a kind of safeguards. It says the election should be held in, should begin in September. It says the voting period should be 40 days. And it says the nominating period, what did I say, 40 days for that too, or 30 days?
30 days.
Okay. But it doesn't say exact dates. In other words, it follows Casey's proposal in leaving the exact dates up to the PNB or to a national election supervisor, but it just sets some constraints on the choices that they can make about the election timeline. Is that a comprehensible summary, I hope?
Enough for me.
This is Jane. Can I add something to that?
Yeah, you're a work member. Go ahead.
She also provided a summary that people may not have found in the document, where the purpose of switching to four-year terms with elections in odd-numbered years is to allow the board's time to settle in and function without their internal dynamics being constantly interrupted by elections, to alleviate voter burnout, to alleviate the scrambling by too frequent elections, to reduce financial impact of elections, and to eliminate coincidence of foundation elections with congressional and presidential elections. The impact of extending delegate terms to 4 years is mitigated by the proposal to eliminate the incumbency factor in elections by mandating a 2-year respite between terms of delegates.
Is there another member of the work group who wishes to be recognized? Carolyn was on the stack, I believe. Go ahead, Carolyn.
I'm not sure where we're at, but I'm not sure how to solve this problem, but I do see a potential problem, and that is between the beginning and the end. If the PNB does not set a timeline for the end of the even-numbered year, then the National Election Supervisor is to create one. If at the end of the process and the end of the extended quorum there is still no quorum, then the people in place will remain in place. Now, I see a problem there, and I see a great incentive for someone to sabotage the election so that, in fact, there is no quorum, either by delays or malfeasance or any one of a number of ways of seeing to it that, in fact, people retain their seats. I'm not saying this is likely, but it is not impossible. And given the number of people around the foundation who, in fact, are not thrilled with the idea of democratic governance in the first place, I do see that as a problem. I don't know how to solve it, whether to say that they should remain in place for 30 days, at which time a new election shall be set, or they should remain in place for 6 months. So I don't know how to solve that problem, but I do see a potential problem with putting those two things in there and allowing the PNB and the NES to set things without any limitation.
Jack, I'm
yes, that's all I had to say.
I don't think I have a stack. Let's create one. Jack, was someone on the stack before Jack?
And this is Bob on the procedure of the meeting.
It's go ahead, Bob. On procedure.
Okay, thanks. It's not a point of order, but I'm wondering if it might make sense for us to go back, now that we have the pieces on the table, to go back through them in a certain order, and maybe we could take the four-year term question and the term limit question, which is linked to it, first, and discuss it, resolve it, vote on it, and then go on to this thing about how to set the schedule, should it be in the bylaws, should it be delegated, all of that.
Yeah, we also have the areas of the bylaws that require change that have not been reported on by the work group.
Okay.
that reflect to schedule.
Can we discuss the proposed changes to Article 4, Section 3, and the Section 8 first?
What's that concern? What topic?
The frequency of elections and then the term limits.
Sure. Yeah, that seems natural since the Article 4, Section 3 was introduced first. Is there objection proceeding to consider that change first? Okay, that is on the proposal to have elections in odd numbered years. Specifically. And it relates to the change in Section 8, which sets the 4-year terms of office.
I have a comment about that.
Well, I also Jack, have a comment. Yeah.
Jack was first on the stack, and is that Jane who's next?
Yes.
And anyone else? Go ahead, Jack.
I would like to know if somebody has looked
Teresa
into
on the
any,
stack, please.
Any possible unintended consequences. Do other parts of the bylaws need to be amended as well? Are there wording problems? Does this affect, you know, term limits? Whoever has posed this, have they looked through the bylaws to see if there are ramifications that also need to be taken into consideration in the amendment process for this to go forward?
I sent an email on that earlier today, identifying various other sections in the bylaws that assume a 3-year term.
So you've looked into it?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's what I was referring to as was not part of the work group report, and that we need to get to before we vote on an entire proposal.
Okay, I was knocked off the call. I didn't hear that. Okay, thank you. That's all I have to say.
Teresa on the stack, please.
Yeah, Ms. Gatewood is next. Jane is.
I'd like you to come back to me. I'm trying to get my.
Ms. Allen?
Together.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I think the idea of elections every other year is a great idea. I wish we'd had it to start with. I do have one concern, and when we were doing the bylaws, I think that there were some things that we just couldn't think that far in advance. I guess I'm not a chess player. If I were a chess player, I could be thinking 20 moves ahead. But it concerns me in that you have to be on the local board a year before you could be on the national board. And if you can only serve a 4-year term and then you have to go off for, did you say 2 years?
Yes.
I'm wondering how that would affect how many people are capable of advancing to the national board, and if we could be in a bind, because some people don't want to go to the national board, and I'd hate to be in a situation where we're in a bind that you don't have enough people qualified to go to the national board because of that. That's all.
Ms. Gatewood, you ready?
What'd you say?
You're recognized if you're ready.
Okay, yes. I just wanted to double check on that Section 3 election of delegates. So I had to go back to my bylaws. So the current fourth sentence that is proposed to be modified reads, election delegates shall be staggered over a 3-year period with elections for 3 staff delegates and 9 listener-sponsored delegates held in the first year, elections for 3 staff delegates and 9 listener-sponsored delegates held in the second year, and no elections in the third year. So we're proposing that sentence be replaced with this one. I just wanted to say that for clarity. And that all other sections would remain unchanged.
Of Section 3, yeah.
I'm sorry, all other sentences in Section 3.
Mr. Chair, Teresa, back on the stack, please.
If there is no stack, go ahead, Ms. Allen.
I'm wondering if we could take a straw poll right now to see if there's someone on this committee that is opposed to this, because from my experience with bylaws revisions, and this is bylaw revision, if you don't have strong support for it, then it's not going to work, and it will never go anywhere. So I would like to know right now if there's someone that is, or more than one, if there are, that are opposed to going every other year.
Well, straw polls are out of order, but I can accomplish the member's purpose.
Okay.
We're trying to construct a comprehensive proposal that addresses several articles in the bylaws, and so I'm delaying the vote until we have it all constructed. So is there objection to including in the main motion being constructed by the committee the proposed change to Article 4, Section 3, which specifies elections in odd-numbered years?
This is Serene.
Serene, you're recognized?
I don't have an objection to it. I just think that before we can decide that alternate year elections in odd-numbered years, that odd number year elections are fine, that we have to all buy into the 4-year term. So
Lydia.
That has to precede that discussion. I don't think we've done that.
Is there an objection to including 4-year terms in the proposal being constructed by the committee?
This is Bob.
Mr. Letter, go ahead.
Okay. No, I support 4-year terms, but I just think as we proceed tonight and whenever else we need to discuss this, that these changes are so major that we should not rush to immediately ask, is there objection or not objection? I think we should keep the floor open for some discussion, because we're going to have to get really broad support from, you know, 3 delegate assemblies have to ratify it, a majority of the listeners have to ratify pieces of it. So let's talk before we ask for, you know, objection or non-objection. And I just want to add one reason why I support 4-year terms, besides what Jane summarized, which was an excellent list of reasons. I would also add that, and maybe this was on there and I missed it, the cost of the current system is staggering and unnecessary. We don't get the benefit for this, whatever it is, $200,000 per election. And so that's another compelling reason to go to every other year rather than 2 out of every 3 years. But I do have a concern about the part concerning term limits. Can I go ahead and address that now?
Well, the member has already spoken in excess of the purpose for which he was recognized, so he will be recognized for this additional purpose.
Okay, thank you. Okay, well...
thank you, Mr. Chair.
You're welcome.
Just as we have in the current bylaws, a term limit of 2 terms, which currently, of course, are 3-year terms, so that's a total of 6 years. I would favor that our amendment should carry that principle forward. So it would be a limit of 2 consecutive terms or 8 years, 8 consecutive years sitting on the board, because I think that there really is, Pacifica is so complicated and there's so much structure to understand, and also a lot of history, including the recent history that some of us on the boards went through of the, you know, at least one part or another of the struggle to take back the network, that I think to lose that experience after the first 4 years of someone serving would be a loss to the entire foundation and wouldn't be a good idea to mandate that. And obviously, if the voters decide that somebody, you know, hasn't merited a second term, then fine, then they won't reelect them. But I don't think we should foreclose that. So I would support, making it a 2-term limit instead of a 1-term limit.
And was there sufficient discussion of that issue in committee so that we know that this is a minority position of the committee?
So,
this is Teresa. I somewhat agree with Bob Letterer's logic about allowing 2 terms before you have to sit off one.
So we'll clearly be
Carolyn here,
considering amendments at that point. Ms. Burden?
Yes, thank you. I
No, this is one idea that has, I don't think was discussed in committee, and I'm going to raise a question that I did raise in committee, which I don't think we really addressed, and that is, I think these proposals should have been given some wider circulation before the committee itself came to the entire committee, the work group came to the entire committee with them, and I would like to have seen them out there in print, perhaps on our Google Groups list, for other people to consider. And I'm a little bit concerned that, well, we've thought about some of these things, they're very complex, and they need time, and I think we could have benefited from having some outside input and some comments and consideration of ideas like this one that Bob is raising and others, perhaps over time. So I'm really hesitant to even move to a vote on these issues without having put them out there in writing for other people to look at. So I'm not objecting to the specific proposals, but to the way in which they have or have not been considered by a large number of people.
Does Ms. Jane have a question?
Go ahead, Ms. Gateway.
If we send this to the PMB, when would it be considered? Do you know? Would it be considered at an in-person meeting or at a phone meeting? Does anybody know?
Bob?
Go ahead.
I could try to answer that. That'll have to be determined by the PMB, but what for those people who read Dan Siegel's opinion, he construed the calendar requirements in the bylaws for amendments to mean that the board could vote as late as July 15th on starting the 60-day clock of public notice of whatever text they're finally going to settle on. However, keep in mind that he said that was provided. I'm sorry, I don't have it right in front of me. Maybe someone else has it, could read his exact wording. But that was provided that it was okay to make the final decision, I guess that would be, of the third delegate assembly that ratifies it would have to happen by September 30th.
Yes, earlier if PMB and delegate assembly voting begins prior to September 15th. In other words, July 15th notice period begins, assuming that the PMB and delegate assembly voting does not begin prior to September 15th.
And since Ms. Gatewood jumped in, the chair will jump in. By my calculations, the notice period should begin on July 3rd in order for this bylaws amendment to be on the election that's coming up, for incorporated into the ballot sent to members.
Point of information.
Go ahead.
Actually, 2 points. One for you, Terry. Could you just draw out a little bit more how you arrived at that calculation, which is different since Dan's was July 15th, and just I want to understand that. And then I have a question for Casey about the printing of the ballot.
Okay. Article.
Oh, and 7, I have a question also.
Article 17, Section 1B specifies a 60-day notice period for website and broadcast announcements before there is a PMB or delegate vote on a proposed bylaws amendment. There is also a period by which a proposed bylaws amendment must be submitted to the membership if it has been voted by the PMB and the delegates and requires a membership vote. The latter argues for a September vote of the PMB and delegates because the bylaws say that that vote should occur in the same month. So to allow voting as early as September 1st, if we backdate 60 days, we come to July 3rd because both July and August have 31 days.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be July 1st. July 1st would be 62 days. And so July 3rd would provide 30 days advance notice to allow a September 1st earliest vote of the PMB or delegates.
Can I follow up?
Yes.
Okay. Well, in Dan's calendar, calendar, he says September 15th to 30th is, in other words, a roughly two-week period is the period of PNB and Delegate Assembly voting. So is it your position that that's too short, that there needs to be an entire month for that process?
Yes, because the easiest time to have a Delegate Assembly is at an LSB member meeting. I mean, on the date of an LSB meeting. And some LSBs may be scheduling their LSB meetings at the end of the month, and others may be scheduling them at the beginning of the month.
Okay.
So
one
it's
final...
safest to leave the whole month available.
Right, I see. Can I just ask my question to Casey?
Yes.
Okay. So in Dan's, you saw Dan's opinion, right, Casey?
Yes.
Okay. So in his calendar, he says, ballots are working backwards. Ballots are mailed October 15th. They're printed October 1st, and then the PNB and Delegate Assemblies vote from September 15th to 30th, presumably on the 30th, let's say, if that happens to be the last Delegate Assembly meeting, that's enough time basically to know yay or nay if this thing is going on the ballot, and by essentially the next day, October 1st, the ballots
are printed. You can have the text laid out, you know, in graphically pleasing way, hopefully, And then, depending on whether the proposal goes forward, either include it in the ballot or not.
So my question to you is, are you comfortable with that calendar? Is that a realistic calendar for to accommodate printing without too much craziness?
Well, the earlier we can do it, the more comfort there will be. I certainly agree, you know, with concept that this needs to be fully discussed. I think that airing the announcements on every station twice a day for 60 days will help to accomplish that, and hopefully there will be discussion at local board level as well to get listeners involved and all the Pacifica community involved in discussing whether this suits our purposes.
Okay, there were other members who wanted to speak when I recognized
Serene
Bob a couple
staff.
Times. Who were those
Serene
people?
Serene to the staff.
Serene,
I don't
well?
Think I was the first one, but I'm there.
Who else? No one else? So go ahead, Ms. Roberts.
This is Lydia. Put me on the stack.
Okay, Lydia will be next.
Okay. I think, well, first of all, with regard to disseminating the work of the working group before bringing it back to the committee, I thought that was improper. So I think that might have been what Carolyn was referring to. We did discuss it in the working group. She thought that we should put it out there, and I felt it needed to come back to the committee, and then the committee can make a decision on what it wants to put out there. I think you're supposed to report to your creating body before you sort of do anything else. But those who, you know, live by Robert's rules can correct that. I think there is plenty of time for discussion, and I do think discussion is a necessary thing. I saw Dan's timeline, and I think it's doable but tight. And one of the reasons that I sort of pushed for us to meet tonight is that I think we should get things done sooner rather than later, because agendas almost never go as we would wish in terms of the apportionment of time or the actual time then spent on items. And with regard to worrying about, you know, where boards have their predetermined or preset meetings in September, I think we should try to get this done earlier in September rather than later. But there's absolutely nothing wrong with saying to board, you know, having the PNB chair say to board chairs in July, plan on an early September meeting so that regardless of what happens, you know, what sort of emergencies may come up, you are done well ahead of the deadline. So I think we can simply plan better and avoid having to worry about that. That said, I do think that the issue of four-year terms the endorsement of four-year terms needs to be separated from whether or not there is, in fact, only one four-year term before there must be a hiatus. And that there also needs to be a discussion of changes that might then be offered with regard to how long directors serve. If we're going to have longer terms, there's no reason why we can't also have two-year terms then for directors, for national board members, as opposed to the current one-year process where, you know, you get there in January. By the time you figure out what's happening in March, you know, you're out of there in December. So I think we can use our time better and use our skills better so that people take go through the process of learning what's actually happening. They get an opportunity to stay there long enough to make a difference.
Ms. Brisson?
Hey. Terry, did you hear that I wanted to be on the stack? This is Lydia.
I just recognized you as Ms. Brisson.
Oh, I'm sorry. I only recognize myself as Lydia. Okay. Yes, I support the four-year term. I would not support, I'm cool about the election supervisor and executive director picking dates. I do support the notion of having bylaws and then having policy. And so I do agree that the specificity that is currently in the bylaws has just created a nightmare situation for us, including having to approve it by the 30th of that month, the same month. But anyway, I think that piece of it needs to be reworked so that it would be that the PMB would once and for all set the dates for sure in case it doesn't get to it the next time around, but that it could also change it with, I don't know, a 60% majority or something like that. So we could put some, you know, a little more than just a simple majority into the thing. But I would support that. And what is the other issue? Oh, I can't remember if I had any other bone of contention.
Term limit.
But in principle, I support the 4 years.
And
Teresa?
Ms. Brisson, did you want to comment on the hiatus between terms? Or did you?
I think there is something to be said for it's really difficult to be an exhausted member right now and comment on and think of anyone serving 2 4-year terms. But I guess there is some merit to that. I do support the idea of 2 years for directors. This is the first PMB in my memory that had such a turnover where we had 9 new PMB directors who were completely brand new to the whole PMB way of doing things. And it's a really steep learning curve, and I do support the 2-year terms for directors, and I think the 4-year terms are going to help facilitate that as well.
Should this be a separate issue that the existing work group have further discussion on?
If we have time for it, I don't know what kind of a...
Well,
time constraint. We have to deliver this to the PMB if we're going to go with the July 3rd, right? The PMB, which doesn't have too many more Fridays left in June to meet around this and are going to need a break somewhere in between, would probably meet at the last week in June around this. So whatever is reasonable to facilitate that.
Okay. Was there someone else who wanted to be on the SAC?
Yes, Mr. Goodman. You could add me if you will. Casey?
Okay. Before Mr. Peters speaks, I wanted to mention that the requirement that the executive director appoint an election supervisor if the PMB fails to set an election schedule by December 31st would conflict with the current bylaws, would possibly conflict with the current bylaws specification that the election supervisor be hired in May. Go ahead, Mr. Peters.
Terry, would you add me to the list, please?
Yes, and I believe that requirement is one of the things that should probably be taken out, or at least the date might be taken out of the bylaws, that there are a lot of things we missed in looking at this process. I just wanted to put forward the idea that if my proposed term limit of one consecutive term at a time is controversial, that perhaps that could be a separate measure rather than tied to the extended term, so that if the voters decided they wanted to have the four-year term but did not want to have the two-year hiatus, that they could choose that option. But if they decided they wanted to stagger the board by introducing the two-year hiatus between terms, then they'd have that option.
Yeah, that can be done.
In other words, it's a basically a move to divide the question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come again? Could you repeat that?
A motion to divide the question of the extended term and the term limit. In other words, to having only one consecutive term at a time and having the two-year break between. It's a motion to divide the question. One part of the question is to extend the term. The other is to have the two-year hiatus between terms.
Okay.
Ms. Williams? Was that Ms. Allen?
No,
it's
just for the stack after whomever.
Yes, this is LaVon.
Was that?
Hello, can you hear me?
Just a moment.
Did
was that Roberts is asking to be on the stack?
It is. Thanks.
Okay, you'll be after Ms. Williams. Go ahead, Ms. Williams.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think that just a couple comments. I think that the four-year term, I think, would be good. In terms of dividing the question, whether we should make that 1 or 3 years, that's something to consider. But I would not support a two-year term for a director. And the reason is that if the LSC, in the view of the majority of the LSC, makes the wrong decision, then it would be absolutely, and we keep the same rules for removing a director, then that would not work. Because I think we would have to make the rules less stringent for removing a director if we have a two-year term. Because, again, the experience has been that if the LSC as a whole makes a mistake in putting a director there, and that director's there for 2 years, it can be a nightmare. So I would not support that.
This is Jack.
Teresa.
Point of personal privilege?
You're recognized for a point of personal privilege.
It was so hard for me to understand LaVarne's, I guess it's her connection or something, but did she say she's opposed to two-year terms for directors or she endorses it? I couldn't follow anything.
She was opposed.
She is opposed. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Ms. Roberts, you're recognized on the stack. Beyond your point of personal privilege, you now have the floor.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I need to pass for 1 second. I'll come back on after the next.
Mr. Van Aken.
It seems to me like the subject of terms and term limits overlaps into a governance issue. I mean, I think the cosmic nature of this kind of a proposal, it just needs to sort of be shopped around a little more. So, I'm wondering if maybe it makes more sense to deal more specifically with the timeline itself rather than trying to come to a recommendation on this, for example, at this meeting, because it opens up the issue of directors' terms and of term limits and a two-year hiatus. These are all sort of new ideas that haven't been discussed, to my knowledge, in any depth about. I'm not everywhere, so maybe I've missed something. That's my point.
Ms. Roberts, are you ready?
I am.
Go ahead.
With regard to, well, first of all, one of the things that came up in our meeting was how we wanted to present it. I don't know how easy this meeting has been for people who are not as immersed in the issue to follow, or even people who weren't on the working group. So that was one of our concerns. But there also needs to be some sort of agreement on how we want to present what we, whatever we come up with to the PNB, and then how we want it down the road, how we want it presented to the voters. Do we, in fact, want to say that, well, here are three proposals. Which of the three do you like better? Or do we want to come up with one proposal that people then have to vote on, you know, either vote it up or vote it down? And this question sort of, I mean, how we frame the issues is really important, and we need to sort of address that, I think, well, long before we get to the end of the conversation tonight. We can either go with something that has no specific date and just leaves it up to the PNB or the NES, which I don't think is going to get much support, or we can go with something like what we came up with on Friday, which has sort of specific periods that things must happen, with this beginning in September or so forth. And in that instance, what we did and the language that Henry had sent out, that actually uses the original timeline in terms of the starting point, as opposed to the revised timeline, the last one on which we all agreed. And so do we want to in fact send it out with no dates at all and just say, you know, get it done, or no specific dates but specified periods or specified intervals between important events? Or do we in fact want to have both in the final proposal that says, well, you know, we think this is an ideal date, but we will allow for a 60-day leeway depending to be determined by the NES, depending on what's happening within the foundation, perhaps financially, what's happening in the U.S. based on which, you know, who the government has declared war on most recently, or, you know, so that whole question about how we decide to, not just what we decide, but how then we decide to present it, I think, is something we need to try to deal with. That's it.
Ms. Allen?
I can't even remember what it is I was going to talk about, so pass.
This is Casey. Could you add me to the stack, please?
Well,
this is Henry also, please.
Mr. Chair, I did remember. Yes, I think that the point raised earlier about if the national board elects someone to a two-year term and then they realize their error, that can be a problem, because it can be a monumental effort to try to reverse that. So that some group needs to give that a little extra consideration about what to do about that.
This is Jane. May I speak to that?
Well, actually, that's not before us. The director terms is not before the committee at this
point. Sorry.
If not, it was part of the proposal.
Delegate terms was, not director terms.
Thank you. Okay.
Mr. Knorr.
I'm just a little confused about where we're at. I thought we agreed in response to Bob Letter's suggestion, there was no objection that we were going to discuss the issue of odd-numbered elections and every two-year elections and delegate terms. I still think that suggestion made sense and that we should stick to that and then go on after that to the timeline question and then to the other questions that are implied in those changes.
Along those lines, Mr. Knorr, I'll point out that the odd year schedule avoids conflict with public elections, which typically happen during even numbered years. But the end of year election risks conflicting with holiday mail. Was that given consideration in committee?
Your first point was not, but it seems indisputable. The second point was considered when we were working up timelines, yes.